I think, you know, when you play middle field safety, which Ricardo does a lot, some of the things that come up for us, it's the tackling, it's the quarterback, it's the intent of where the quarterback wants to go. So oftentimes when you're in the middle of the field, you know some routes are going to challenge you. And so that was one for sure that we've practiced a bunch, and I thought he played it just right.
We talked a lot about his, you know, transition to free safety, and he's made it very smoothly so far. Where do you think he's at overall?
I think number one is the communication. He's a quiet guy by nature, and that position does not allow you to be quiet. You are the vocal leader out there. You're making calls. You're making checks. And I think that part of his game, the guys are absolutely looking to him to get that information, and he's able to give it and demonstrate that over and over again. So I think the tackling and the communication are the things. Man, have I seen him improve in that way. I was hoping that transition would happen because I saw the speed. I saw the length that communication that he could have. So when he brought it to life, it's something that we've been really counting on, and it came through in a big way.
Coach, this is a season that started off on the high of winning five in a row.
Yep.
How do you tailor your message as you go through the struggles and the kind of the valley that you guys find yourself in right now, trying to get yourself back on track?
I think the biggest thing is, like, the players know we have tons of belief in them. But more importantly than that, the players have a ton of belief in one another. There's never a case where there's, you know, turn your back or, you know, finger pointing or that kind of. This is a really close group. So that's how you get out of it. When you go through a bad, you know, spot a ball or a good spot, you're together, you're into it together. And the only way out is the same way, doing it all together. And that's what I expect from our group.
I was going to have for you.
Sure.
You've been in a situation in the past with a team that got off to the kind of start that you had, hit a rough spot, then you got to the month of December. What did that team do to work its way out of it, or did it work its way out of it?
I think the biggest thing is, like, when you have that group that's so close and so connected, and one of the messages I told the team, like, hey, man, we were in a dark place after last night. That's as hard as it gets in terms of the struggle we've had. Now how do you get out? You do it together. And that's what's so unique about our group. They want to fight. They want to go into things together. So that part of it, I'm pleased with where we can get to. The struggles that you go through sometimes, it creates opportunities. And for us, the opportunity is now here. And that's what I wanted to get across to them right now.
As Matt's gone through the stretch here with a lot, you know, several unforced errors,
right.
Is your message or coaching to him and Kyle's and whatnot just been stay the course? I mean, because, you know, the guy's got a long track record of success,
yeah.
But, you know, you can talk a little bit too
sure.
much about the middle side of it, and it kind of becomes a spooky thing.
I think when you're talking about, you know, was there an unforced error? Like, hey, man, let's make sure we're making all the right decisions, you know, for the team. And I think that's kind of like the example we were trying to talk about for the third down one in the red zone. If that practice one, you know, in practice isn't there, all right, that plays out. You know, we go on to the next, we kick the field goal, and we go. So all the decisions that are there, he knows that. And for us to make sure we're at our best, he has to have those decisions, you know, full-speed decisions with everybody in mind. But it is stay the course. It's not, you know, let's make something up new now or not or that, because he is such a talented guy. I don't know if I answered that in the right way that you're looking for, but I just wanted to make sure, yeah, there's nothing new that we're going to try and do. It's about the decision making is being right on point.
Philip Wheeler's play, could you talk about the numbers look good, but how is it looking on film?
I think one of the hardest things to do is when you have to go in without a lot of reps. And as you guys know, you've been in practice, you know, the backup linebacker or the backup quarterback or, you know, tight end or whoever, you don't get a lot of full speed turns at it in practice. You know, oftentimes you're the one giving the looks on the show team. So for him to have that understanding, hey, I'm going right back to my rules. And as a backup player, you have to get most of your work in based on the film and in some of the walkthrough where you get the reps. So for him to come in, not had a lot of game reps getting ready, practice reps getting ready for the game, I thought he did a really good job. He's been a really valuable addition for us.
When you face a guy like Adrian Peterson, who's, you know, essentially a Hall of Fame player, does the message become, hey, you know, this guy is just this good? You know, we got to chalk it up to saying, look, it's a great player making great plays, and you guys, because the effort was there, right?
Yeah, I thought the toughness and the effort was there. We knew it was going to be just a battle for it. The hard part for us was the missed tackles, and, you know, he was a big reason for that. But I think when every time you're going against that kind of back, man, you better get down on the legs and wrap and roll. Those are the messages. So when we had those opportunities where we missed tackles, where a run became 10 yards or a run became 12 yards, or at the end of the game when the run became 40 yards, those were when the missed tackles really came through. There's sometimes in the line there might be a missed tackle and the linebacker's right there to clean it up. Those aren't the ones that get exposed so much as the ones that happen on the perimeter, you know, outside the tight end from, you know, call it the hash out to the numbers. Those are the ones where all that space can happen, and that's where the missed tackles can really lead to the big gains, and that was one of the ones that happened at the end.
How many missed tackles did you?
With 15.
15?
Yep.
That's the most of the season?
Yes, the most, yep, by far. We've had a couple that were 10 and 11, but we had 15 for this game. So we knew that was going to be the battle for it going into it, Vaughn. So, you know, the tackling, the gap discipline. So I thought from a gap control standpoint, you know, we're on point, but the missed tackle certainly hurt us, and especially there at the end of the game.
How did you evaluate Vic?
You know what? We thought, although the sack numbers may have not shown up, we thought from a rush standpoint, did a really good job. And we put Brooks Reed in some, and so we were trying to see how that combination would work as well with Brooks as a rusher in our nickel package, and we liked how that looked as well. So we put Schofield in our base package some at the sandbacker. So those are kind of some of the tweaks that we did along the front. But I thought the effort, the mindset, the toughness was there, and we've got to get our tackling just on point. Like, we want to be known as one of the best fundamental teams in ball. That's our tackling, our discipline, where the big plays don't happen. And so for us to have a double-digit, you know, missed tackle game, that's when it's hard to play at your best.